אוקיי. בוקר טוב, ערב שבת שלום, שם השם נעשה ונצליח. So, I think I decided this week to speak about another very interesting topic. Last night, by my mishmar share in Queens, I spoke about some general dinim of hafreshat chala, which I don't know if you heard the shiur, but I would say probably about 85% of the questions I get from women are hafreshat chala related. So, yeah, which is... She's only the Rabbanan. Somebody asked even more than Hilchot Tahara and stuff like that. It's very interesting. Yeah, for that. I get it more from the men. Yeah, so all the you know parties and the meditations and all the stuff. So anyway, the Kitzur. Yeah, they have more, but that's just they do have more. There's more to being a Jewish woman than just that, but so I wanted to discuss today, which is this happens to be a question that did and has, and I'm sure will come up in the future again. You saw the title "Disasters" by Parashat Chala. So what I mean by that is as follows: you know, everything going as planned. If a woman does a Parashat Chala, mikarabim, right? Like I spoke about last night, there is no mitzvah. I mean, there is a mitzvah, but nowadays we're not noheg anymore to give a Parashat Chala to the queen. Yeah, we don't do that. Even Chalat Chutz La'aretz, which has several leniencies relative to that of Chalat Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, we're not going to give it to the Kohen. In general, there's different methods of Chalat disposal that I spoke about yesterday also. But the mitzvah is not giving it to the Kohen. The mitzvah is the aprasha, which means as soon as the aprasha is done, the dough is out of tevin mode. It's no longer considered tevin. And it's mutar ba'afina. That's the way it works with Chalat. That's why it works with Trumot Ma'asrot. Nobody gives Truma to the Kohen anymore. Nobody gives Ma'asrot to the Levi. And nobody gives a Parashat Chala to the Kohen anymore either. And yet, we're all eating the bread. Now, preferably, as soon as the Parashat Chala is done, okay, you should separate it and put it away in a designated area so that disasters like this don't happen. But disasters do happen. What happens if, let's say, you did a Parashat Chala, and soon you'll see, I said yesterday also, nowadays there is no minimum shi'ur for hafreshat chala. You can take off even a kol shu. You don't need a chad b'memchet. You don't need to take off 1/48 of the dough. Rather, even a tiny drop, l'da'at maran shulchan aruch bizman hazeh, that, especially by chalat chutz la'aretz, she'in la'ikar min ha'torah, it is permissible to take off even a drop. But let's say, what happens is, you take off a piece of chala, you didn't put it in a designated area, and something happened, and it fell back in. Fell back in. Oh, so we're going to get there in a second. It fell back when it's still dough. I mean, when it's so, because what happens is now it's considered min b'mino, right? Because it's dough with it's one thing in its own kind of mixture species. So the question is, what happened? There is a tremendous machloket poskim. How much you need, especially now, since chala bizman hazeh, even in Eretz Israel, and certainly in Chutz La'aretz, chala is only midrabanan. How much do you need? Now, certainly, the chala itself, the afrasha, is something that's asur. It's asur tezarim. It's something that cannot be eaten, right, by a non-kohen. And even to a kohen, it can only be eaten in the tahora. It has to be tovel kiriyot. It's all sorts of different things. So it's something that cannot be eaten. So when it falls back in, you have a classic example of ta'arovet isur. You have isur, you have something that's forbidden, mixed into something that is permissible or that was permissible. Now what do you do about it? So now in general, by other ta'arovet isur, by other prohibited mixtures, all you need is shishim pe'amim. All you need is shishim over here. That wouldn't be the case, though, because over here, we're talking about kadashim. Over here, we're talking about things that are consecrated, like truma. By truma, the halacha is truma is batel only truma that falls into chulin, which means truma that falls into mundane produce. The halacha is you need a ratio of echad lemeah. You need a ratio of 1 to 100. So now, that's bevadai, not even deoraita, because with deoraita it's even batel beror. Many poskim say that even bizman hazeh, that chala is only midrabanan, it's still batel beror.
But if you're sick, then it's man. Shinka Biman did not pass him with it. They say, no, it needs to be, even though it's the Rabbanan, but we are gozer on it, like a Doraita, and you still need a Chadume'at, which means that it needs to be batel by a ratio of 1 to 100. So if, let's say, you have a lot of flour, you have a big mixing bowl, and you took off only a drop of dough as halav, then, you know, you estimate that you had 100 times more, or more than that, than the dough that you took off. It's mutar. And anyways, oh, but 1 second, the challah is in here. Is it mutar to eat the dough? Yes. Why? Because you already matir the dough. You already made the dough permissible by being matir, by taking it off. Then the isur got mixed up into it. If you have 100 times or more than 100 times the challah, it is mutar. Huh?
I guess.
Especially, what happens is sometimes, you know, many times I've seen women take off, you know, give them to pieces, and they take off a nice chunk of the dough. Huh? It is a kosher. You don't need a kazai. Bizman chazal, you needed a fad mimim take. Huh? Nachton. Yeah, to the ayin, yeah. But that was the regular shiur echad mimim take, 148. But nowadays, chala is only the rabbanan. You take even a drop off. So now, let's say, which many times, like Simon's saying, doesn't happen that you have 100. So now you have a problem. You can't eat this dough now. Why? Because you have isur mixed in. So what do you do now? So I have gotten frantic phone calls in the past. What do you do in the situation? So there is a Rama, famous Rama, that says in a situation like this, what's the halacha? He says, no problem, huh? What do you mean, Bedin? Oh, Satar Amdarim, he says, since Chala is like Truma, and Truma is like Hikdish, we know that Hikdish, how do you make something Hikdish? With your mouth, right? Your Magdishato, you made it Truma also by calling it Truma, it's called Kriyat Hashem. And therefore, the Rama says that Hatarat Nedarim would apply to this, which means you said, your Mitcharet that you ever took it off to begin with, you say, Peta Mitocharata, if I would have known that such a thing would have happened, I never would have called it Allah. And he says, he asked a chacham, we don't really have a chacham who's able to be matir nedarim yichidi, go through the book. You say, I completely regret having taken off Allah to begin with. They tell you, mutarlah, mutarlah, mutarlah. And therefore what? Everything goes back to how it was. And then you just take off Allah again later, and you're good to go. She can't tell them. That's the only case in Maran and Siman Resh Kafet says that in general, Hataran Darim cannot make a Shaliyah because the Noder has to come before the Matirim. The only one exception is, and Isha can make her husband the Shaliyah for Tarakim. So she is allowed to send her husband in front of three people, does Hataran Darim, and then if Mutar, it goes back to square one. The issue, there's a very famous Tshuva in Yabi Omer, Chilik Aleph, Yoredei Asiman Kaf Aleph, he discusses. Hey, wait a second, and this becomes a very, very big machlok taposki. 1 second. When you do that, I understand that you have to take off chala again. Okay, fine, that's okay. I get it. Question is, if she made a bracha to begin with, a few minutes ago when she made it, if she does ataran darim, the halacha is ataran darim is okere to neder ma'ikaro. It retroactively takes off the neder. The question is, what happens to her bracha now as a result of her ataran darim? Now, perhaps we should say, okay, Hataran Darim actually produced the dough. But as a result of Hataran Darim and everything becoming mutar, retroactively, what happens to Ibracha? Are you allowed to cause Ibracha Levatala to ensue? Maybe tell the throw at the dough is out. Don't use it. Don't cause Ibracha Levatala. Yeah. Okay. You can do the same thing, but it doesn't necessarily make either Hadlakat Nerot or the Tfilot of Shabbat Levatala, because at the end of the day, it was done with Shabbat. Over here, what are you doing? You're telling that he's taking the challah and completely undoing it, making everything chulin to begin with. So why does that not make an issue of Bracha Levatala? That's the major problem. Now, you do? Yeah. So, now, that's another machloket, whether or not the second time around we'll make a bracha. It's a different story. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the original bracha. It would seem, at face value, the bracha that you made on that person should become a bracha levatala, since Atara Nedarim undoes everything retroactively. Yeah? So it seems. Why not? Well, you're taking away the mitzvah. Whatever was done, you're undoing. So what's the bracha going?
When the bracha was made,
yeah. But later on, retroactively, whatever was done, I am, you know, what do you call it? Reset, restore factory setting. Yeah, that's what you're doing to this though. It's as if nothing happened. It's as if hafrashat chalam never happened, which means, again, you're saying good. You're saying rishonim. You don't even know you're saying rishonim. But at face value, it seems that when you undo the hafrasha, then the bracha should go out the window too. Now, listen to this. Yes, sir. So there is a ritva. That's what I was going to say that Mikey was saying. There's a famous ritva in Masechet Chulin Daf Kuf Vav where the Gemara discusses the mitzvah of netilat yadam. And over there he says, Danti b'tnei morid. The ritva said this in front of his rebbe, which is the Ra'ar Abim Aaron Levin. He said, if a person does netilat yadam, okay, with kavanah, we know netilat yadam in bracha, and kavanah to he did netilah, he made the bracha, and then by the time he sat down, changed his mind. He says, you know what, I'm not really hungry. He says, does a person have to push himself to eat bread in order to justify the birkat netilat yadam? Then he said, no, he doesn't. Why? Because he said the mitzvah is the netilah. He completed the mitzvah. The eating the bread, nachon, it's a tnai mitzvah, but the mitzvah was completed at the time you made the bracha. Yeah, in your mind, you had kavanah to do to eat bread. That's it. Even if you change your mind later, that does not retroactively make your bracha levatala. Okay, and you don't have to push yourself to eat bread. The question is, and we find something very similar. Look, we know the Gemara says at the end of Masechet Pesachim, there's a machloket amoraim whether kiddush needs to be mimkom seudah. Machloket Rav Shmuel, yeah, Rav Huna. The Gemara says Rav Huna was of the opinion that kiddush has to be mimkom seudah, which means that if it's not, Now the Gemara tells a story that Rav Huna was once making kiddush, and remember he was of the opinion that it was kiddush. He needs kiddush mimkom seudah, and as he was making kiddush, the lights and the candles in his house went off. The Gemara tells a story that what did he do? His son lived nearby. He had a rabbi and a rabbi lived nearby, and he went to eat the meal by his son, and he made kiddush again over. Say the poskim, but we don't find that rabbi pushed himself to eat, you know, bread or mizunot or whatever it is in his dark house at the time. But according to him, if you don't have kiddush to come suda, that's a bracha levatala. How come he didn't push himself to eat in his house before he went to his son? He didn't. Doesn't say that. Yeah. And not everybody owns the corpse. They've been they don't know the corpse. We don't find any indication. He drank what he drank, and then he went to his son to continue his meal there. Now continue, it says he made kiddush. He didn't know kiddush by his son. But the question is, how come the kiddush, according to him, and by the way, that's not the kiddush from Suda, how come he didn't push himself to eat to try to prevent his kiddush from becoming bracha levatala? Apparently, what do you see? You see Raya from the story of the Gemara to the Dina Deripa, that what? That his Kavanah, when he made the Kiddush, to sit and eat over here. The fact that, you know, Hashem had other plans that didn't end up happening, it's not his problem. He did not push himself to eat so as to save himself from Bechala Batala. It's not going to be Bechala Batala. He didn't do it. Manavid. Yeah? He didn't. So apparently the ritva is not. However, there's a very, what can you tell me? So what are you going to say? Same thing over here. When he or she did a prashat talah, they made the bracha, they had full, you know, what was their kavanah, and everything should go as planned, separate the challah, dispose of it, burn it, whatever it is that they're going to do with it. Bezel, they had in mind to do the mitzvah ketikna, and therefore, even when they do a talah later, it's not going to be considered a bracha levatala. Why is this not a good rite? Yes. Two differences. Number one, Maran's one of Rav Asher's Nevi Omer beautiful. He says, don't bring me a raya for Nechilat Yadayim. You know why? Because by Nechilat Yadayim, what's the bracha? What's the mitzvah by Nechilat Yadayim? The washing of the hands. Did you complete the mitzvah? You completed the mitzvah of Nechilat Yadayim, you did it. Whether or not you eat bread later, which happens to be a tonight mitzvah, but the mitzvah was completed, done. So, you did that too. You did that too. So therefore what? You completed the entire mitzvah. Now, whether or not you go ahead and eat the bread, the mitzvah is complete. However, when you do atarat nedarim on afrashat challah, what happens now? You're okay to whatever was done in mafreya, which means what? The mitzvah isn't complete. You never did the mitzvah. So over there, don't tell me that ayab daripa with regards to netilah, hare, over here the mitzvah isn't complete. And also don't tell me that ayab rabbuna by kiddush, why? Because over there, kiddush is not birkat mitzvot, it's birkat sheva. There's no asher kiddushana b'mitzvotav b'tzivanu al kach dekach. It's not a mitzvah. Nachon, kiddush is a mitzvah. But the nosach of birkat kiddush is not birkat mitzvah, right? There is asher kiddushana b'mitzvotav in kiddush, but it doesn't say b'tzivanu, what does it say after? Birkat Tzivanu Shabbat Kodesh. There's no Tzivanu. It's not Birkat HaMitzvot. Birkat HaSheva. Birkat HaSheva, you're never wrong with the Birkat HaSheva. Why are you not wrong? Because at the end of the day, what you do? You praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I understand over there why that shouldn't be Levatala L'Mapreya. But by a Birkat HaMitzvah that you didn't complete, perhaps that should be Birkat HaMitzvah. There's a very interesting Chatan Sofer, Tshuvot. He was asking Siman Rishon Gimel. Very interesting question. You know, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Ketubot, the Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, "Ger katan matbilin oto al daat bedin," which means a minor ger. Let's say a ger comes to convert with his parents, whatever it is, and he's a child at the time. Nevertheless, even though he's a child, bedin takes the initiative to dip him in the mikveh and to make him a ger along with his parents. Why? Because it's a zechut. Now. Correct. Now, which means the Gemara says he did yachol imchot. When he grows up, when he becomes bar or bat mitzvah, Bet Din calls him back to the Bet Din and they say, "Listen, buddy, this is your chance. You have one shot at it. What we did, you're able to at this moment make it or break. You can either continue as a Jew and then no further action necessary, or you can protest what you did and undo it." Okay, the question that the Chatan Sofer was asked, very interesting, is when Bet Din dips the minor to be a ger, does the Katan make a bracha? Why? Since there's always the possibility that when he grows up to be bar mitzvah, he can be moche, he can protest, he can undo the gerut that Bet Din did him, and then what's going to happen to his bracha? It's going to be bracha levatala namafreya, so perhaps when Bet Din does the dipping for the katan, they shouldn't make a bracha. They shouldn't make a bracha. It doesn't work like that. It's not from here on in. It's no. But when he, if he actually comes and protests by his bar mitzvah, retroactively everything was off, and all of the Torah mitzvot that he kept the katmuto, he was really a goy the whole time. That's the way it works. It's not from here on in. It's retroactive. Therefore. Nevertheless, the Gaon Chatan Sofer answers, says no. Says, first of all, you don't have to be concerned with that, because ruba de ruba, a vast majority of ketanim that are converted in when they're minors, do end up upholding Torah mitzvot when they reach bar mitzvah, number one. And number two, he says another thing. He says there's no problem of bracha l'batala. He says, what ra'aya does it bring that there's no problem of bracha l'batala? He says, from Afrashat Chalav the Rama, he says, the Rama says that if you're in a situation that the Chalav falls into the batch and there's no 100 times Kedele Batelo, he says, you do what's his name? You do Hatarandarim. What about Brachal Batala? There's no issue of Brachal Batala. You know why? Because he says, part of the mitzvah of Afrashat Chalav is that the Chachamim gave you the ability that if something goes wrong, with the Afrashat Challah, you have the ability to do Hatarat Nidarim on it, and that's part of the mitzvah. That's part and parcel of the mitzvah is the ability to
to do atarim if something goes wrong, and therefore that's not considered berachah batala, because that's all considered part of the same umbrella of the mitzvah. So to over here, even if the katan decides later to be moche and not to be mekabel es gerut when he turns bar mitzvah, he says that does not cause his bracha all those years before to do bracha lebatana. He brings a ra'ayah. The Chatam Sofer brings another ra'ayah. This is a very big machloket. But he says, what happens if how come by Sfaradim, you know that by Sfaradim, it's machloket between the Rishonim, Geonim, the Sfaradim hold like the Rosh, like the Rambam, on a Ta'anit Tzibur. What's the halacha? By Ta'anit Tzibur, among the Sfaradim, what do? We say Anenu even by Tfilat Shacharit. You know that. We say Anenu even for not only Shliach Tzibur, even the Yechidim. Yeah? Ashkenazim, even by Ta'anit Tzibur, the Yechidim will only say Anenu where? Tfilat Mincha. Now, here's the famous question. The Rosh asks, Shem Metomar. Hey, wait a second. How can you say Anenu by Tfilat Shacharit? Maybe something's going to happen, Chas V'Shalom. He's not going to feel well sometime during the day, and he's going to have to break his fast. And therefore, retroactively, when he said Anenu in Tfilat Shacharit, what is he? Nimtza Shakran betfilato. He's a liar. How come we're not concerned about that? And Be'emet, that's why the Ashkenazim don't say Anenu. They only say Anenu by Mincha. Why? Because Mincha is already close enough to the end of the day that we can almost assume 100% that he's going to complete the fast. Huh? But he's a liar. No, it's not. He undoes his teshuvah. The next time, until that time happens, no, the Rambam says you said it incorrect. The Rambam says meforash. Says if a person does teshuvah and he accepts he does Kabbalah la'atid and he does his zivat until the next time, his teshuvah is kayam. The next time he's presented with the opportunity to do the avera and he transgresses the avera again, the teshuvah that he made previously is retroactively uprooted. The teshuvah is batel and butan retroactively. That's why we have Yom Kippur every year. Because the teshuvot that we made in years past, if we go back to the sin, the teshuvot that we made all become null and void. Part and part, the most important part of teshuvah that Rambam says is azivat achet, which means you can feel bad and do everything. If you go back to doing the avera, the teshuvot that you did originally are all null and void retroactively. That's the way it works. That's a problem. That's one of the downsides of doing Averot, is that. And the reason why Teshuvah is so volatile is because of exactly this thing. Says the Rosh to answer. Says, why are we not concerned that you're going to have to break your fast later? Says the Rosh, because we go by at the moment that you said that Biyom Tzoma Ta'anit Hazeh, you had in mind to complete the fast. We don't call a person a shakran when Bida'ato. If a person in his mind, Be'emet, and this is the halacha, let's say a person wakes up, he's a chole, and let's say he knows at 1 p.m. he's going to have to break the fast, okay? But until 1 p.m., he wants the fast. Is he allowed to say Anenu by Shacharit? Why? Everybody agrees that he may not say Anenu by Shacharit. Why? Because that would be shakran. A ta'anit has to be completed. If a person knows and a person plans on breaking the ta'anit, you cannot say anim, because that's a lie. A person is saying, especially if Ashkenazim, they say ta'anitim. But if a person really with goodwill had in mind, he intended to complete the fast as usual, and then something happens later, we don't say retroactively, you're a liar, because at the time that you said the tefillah, you intended to complete it. So says the Chatam Sofer, it's very similar to what we're saying by Prashat Chala and by the Zachna. There are very, very big machlokot. What are you saying? No. What bracha?
Before the student can pause.
Yeah.
Right? Before giving sense to the bracha. Here's why we don't do that, because maybe the
So there's a Rashba, there's a famous Chuvat HaRashba in Siman Yudchet. Chelek Alef Siman Yudchet, one of the first Chuvot in Chuvat HaRashba. He discusses how come there's no. He's talking about mitzvah tzedakah. How come there's no bracha on mitzvah tzedakah? And then he goes into many other interpersonal mitzvot. How come there's no mitzvah? And he comes out and he says, any mitzvah that is talui b'da'at acharim, any mitzvah that is contingent upon somebody else doesn't get a bracha. That's the rule. Only a mitzvah that is, again, we're not in control of anything. Yeah, who's in control? That a person makes a bracha, le'aniach tefillin,
Anybody know? Anybody have a guarantee that they're not going to drop dead before you tighten the tefillin on your arm? Yeah, nobody's in control of anything. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. But so to speak, we're in control because what does it mean to be in control? That this mitzvah is not contingent upon anybody else but me. Of it, huh? That is true. That is true. She's not ishto. No, Behemet, how can you make it? Why is that? Why do you make a bracha on kiddushin? Huh? No, it's birkat mitzvot. The Rambam says meforash in Perek Yud Aleph Berachot Brachot, birkat kiddushin is birkat mitzvah. No. One second. Birkat kiddushin, mitzvah of kiddushin. He says Hashem kiddushenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al ha'arayot. That's the name of the huh? That is that you're talking about by you're talking about. The Birkat Chatanim, the Sheva Brachot, the Birkat Erusin, Birkat Erusin is not Birkat Mitzvot. That's why the Rambam says Meforash that after you Mekadesh Isha, you're not allowed to do it anymore because the Mitzvah is over. You already fulfilled the Mitzvah. It's a good Shaila, even though she's already standing here. But then you could say the same thing by the Ani. It's a good Shaila, even though it's Tali B'da'at Acharim. How come Chachamim Mitzaken Mitzvah? It's a good Shaila. I have to look it up. I remember something vaguely in my mind. That I don't remember the answer offhand. I don't want to sound.
My question was,
No, you can't because it's Tabib Da'at Achirim. Once it's Tabib Da'at Achirim, several reasons for that. He might change his mind, many different reasons, different mitzvot. But the formula is any mitzvah that's Tabib Da'at Achirim, there's no mitzvah. There's no bracha. What are you going to tell me? Truma to Maasrot, Salah. Salui Bedaka Kohen, he might not take. What's the answer to that? The mitzvah is not him taking. The mitzvah is? No. Even if me giving is him taking. The mitzvah is me separating. Which means even if he doesn't take it, I still fulfill my mitzvah. Understand? And the produce is still mutar. That's why it's technically it's considered not Talui Bedaka.
The person does not come and decide
one second. That's true. But you never heard of a chatan v'kala getting cold feet? Runaway brides? You never heard of it? That's or runaway grooms. I've had that. Not me, just but not after the bracha. But like on the wedding day, at the wedding, like after. I know. There's crazy people out there. That's not the mitzvah of kiddushin. It has nothing to do with it. It's a separate mitzvah. It's not kiddushin. It has nothing to one has nothing to do with the kiddushin, yichud, the ilat mitzvah. All these things are different concepts. They're separate and they're not contingent upon one another. That's a different story. So now, I just want to end off and say that there's another machloket between the Chatan Sofer and many other posting. Okay, so we just established the Yidu Atan Adarim for the Afrasha. The bracha that you made is not a bracha levatala. The question is whether or not the second time you have to do another Afrasha. The question is, the other Afrasha that you do, do you have to make a bracha later? You have to make a new bracha. So the Chatan Sofer says that yes, although he's of the opinion that the first bracha that he made is not a bracha levatala, nevertheless, since you're doing a new mitzvah now, you have to make a new bracha. Oh, so many poskim disagree with the Chatan Sofer, and they say that since the bracha is not levatala, it carries over to the second bracha that you're going to make, because you still have to be metaken, even though there's a lot of stuff going on, but at the end of the and Marat Chonuch HaPaskin, since there's a Safik Brachot over here, and all you need a Brachot and Anna'akvin at the Mitzvot, then you should do a Hafrasha without a Brachot the second time around, and that's how you say this. So we'll pause over here and say a quick Dvar Torah in the Parsha. Okay, let's just pause for a moment. Mikey? Square or pause?
Square.